It was my granddad who taught me to read. It's a testament to him that he could do so. He had received no education whatsoever, but in his 20s he taught himself to read and write. How do you do that? He started reading to me when I was 2, or maybe even earlier, implicitly giving me his love of stories, but also something more. Beyond the meaning of the words as he read, his voice revelled in the shape and texture of their sounds, relishing those every bit as much as the development of a story. One day, impatient at his delay with some more pressing task, I picked up the book and discovered I could now read it for myself. My excitement was immediately mixed with guilt. With a child's perception, I could sense the sadness behind his apparent pleasure when I read a passage out to him. He knew, of course, that now I didn't need him to read to me any more, that our sitting down side by side and his joy in reading to me was ended. Guilt, then, infests my reading habits from their beginning. I had a long time in which to develop reading as a guilty pleasure. I decided in my early 20s that my minimal education wouldn't debar me from reading classic literature. But where to start? With some trepidation, I bought Bleak House. I couldn't, of course, put it down. For the next year or so, I binge-read all Dickens' novels as I commuted on the tube. At first, I was confused by how enjoyable they were. My militaristic boys' grammar school had taught that anything enjoyable, like music and art, was weak and bad, in a word, unmanly. Anything unpleasant, like rugby, good. Work was identified by intrinsic discomfort. Dickens, surely, was supposed to be difficult and unapproachable, yet here I was, becoming obsessed with him. Guiltily, I read on. After his major novels, I advanced, emboldened, to the rest of the English 19th century canon, Hardy, Eliot, etc., binging all the way. But still I felt I was poaching, that suddenly some cultural gamekeeper would seize my shoulder and point me roughly to the sign which said people like me weren't allowed here. Before that could happen, I left the country. I crossed to Europe, daring to intrude on Dostoevsky, Turgenev, Chekhov, Flaubert, Balzac, et al. My pinnacle, naturally, was War and Peace. I began to allow myself a little confidence as a reader, daring to think I had become reasonably widely read. As such, I could occasionally allow myself a pure entertainment, still preferably bingeable. Tom Sharp was ideal, as were Wodehouse and Anthony Pohl. I still binge when I can, keeping constant watch for an enjoyable writer with a back catalogue, but after a lifetime they have become rarer. A novel which cannot be put down is one of the great pleasures in life. And going up for graduation at Oxford in my 50s, I carried an old book of my granddad's in my pocket.